There is an 80% decrease in the Earth's magnetic field over the last 4,000 years. Every 100 years, the Earth is losing 5% of its magnetic resonance. At the current rate, in approximately 800 years, the Earth may have a zero magnetic resonance. Welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. We have invited somebody who has the most current knowledge in modern history on this subject. The health information alone on magnetism will alter your life for many years to come. We want to welcome our devoted guest, a graduate of Loma Linda University in the area of dentistry. He has invented the Magnetico Sleep Pad. The design gives only a pure negative field, a departure from all other magnetic sleep pads in the world. He is a pioneer and has also designed a breakthrough in medicine and in science called the Magnetic Molecular Energizer. Please welcome from Alberta, Canada, Dr. Dean Bonnelly to It's Rainmaking Time. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Most of the world has no idea that the magnetic field of the Earth is decreasing at a phenomenal rate and how this has an impact on health, on well-being, on how we feel psychologically, on obesity, and practically every known disease to humankind. I'd like you to discuss with us what is happening in the field of magnetics and what is it that we have to start paying attention to.
Well, NASA announced about 4 years ago, and that was to the world, that the Earth's magnetic field would degenerate down to zero within 800 years. Just a week or so ago, Time magazine came out with an article on the subject saying that that is accelerating. So we are losing our magnetic field here on Earth. And that's very important for us to realize, because if we lose our magnetic field, then it has dramatic impact on our health. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, we did an experiment here. We reduced the Earth magnetic field down to one-tenth of what it is presently by using a certain kind of metal to deflect the Earth magnetic field. And we put six mice in there. They were all the same age. And within a few minutes, they were in slow motion. And within 24 hours, one of them died. The rest of them compensated by eating huge amounts of food to derive energy from the food. They became terribly obese. You could almost roll them, but they never, ever sped up. They just moved at a snail's pace. You could roll them over, and they could barely get up.
To be honest with you, Doctor, many of us think of magnetism as something having to do with charisma, personal presence, aside from being in the field of magnetics and science. And I understand that there's only two natural sources of electromagnetic energy available to the body, the Earth's magnetic field and the brain. But most of us have no frame of reference to contend with that has to do with electromagnetic energy. I think of it personally from the computer or from cell phones. What is electromagnetic energy, and why is that relevant to us in the context of magnetism?
The work that was done by Robert Becker, MD, in New York State University showed that frequencies interfere with the frequencies coming from the brain. And so frequency fields such as you have in your power lines and computers and radio phones and things like that are putting out a frequency that is not natural to the body and interferes with the messages from the brain to the tissue. Also interferes with magnetic resonance. See, each tissue of the body has a specific frequency that which it resonates at. And this resonance is important because it's a very, very efficient use of the energy that the brain puts out. So we talk about the energy the brain puts out. We're talking about vitality. The ancients called it chi. And so we need that to really have good health. And when you interfere with that by putting out the wrong frequency, then you're shortchanging your overall health. So this is what people are worried about, and it's this frequency that's interfering. And Robert Becker really started that whole research in that area.
But what is frequency? It sounds, for many of us, even who read about health and who are into health, it sounds like it's a word that's very out there and obtuse for most of us. It's obviously measurable, but what does it mean? What does it mean to me and you?
It means a variation in the electromagnetic field. We're talking now, and that's making a frequency also, but that's a sound frequency. You can, when you have, like your power lines, they're reversing the direction of flow of the electrons 60 times a second. So we call that 60 hertz. So that puts out a positive, negative magnetic field, and it's that frequency then that interferes. When you are listening to radio, that's a wave, electromagnetic wave that's coming into your body and through your ears. Again, that has a frequency because as it varies, that sends a message which we're listening to. So we have many frequencies in our life, and some of them more natural than the other. And the more natural they are, of course, the better it is for the body.
But you're saying also that the earth and the brain are an electromagnetic field. Does that mean literally electricity, as in current? Is that what you're talking about?
Don't confuse electricity. See, whenever you have electricity flowing, you have always an accompanying magnetic field. And this is what's happening in your body. When the brain makes electricity for the body, then you have an accompanying magnetic field. And that's where we get these different messages that go out to the cells of the body telling them what to do. We also get magnetic resonance, which is an enhancement of the chemical reactions. So you have two things going on here with one generator, which is your brain, and the electrical system in your body. Now, conversely, when we're talking about the Earth magnetic field, that magnetic field is caused from the movement of the ionic lava. In other words, when it's superheated, it becomes all ions, and so it's like electrons flowing.
I need to take you back one moment, sir. Usually when you're in a field at your level, you speak in such a advanced way, it's like the air you breathe. But bring those of us who are not at your level into what is ionic. What does that mean?
It means one ion. It means like, I guess more like one atom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it has one charge. An ion can be a molecule with more than one atom, but it has just one charge, either positive or negative.
Okay. And why is the Earth's magnetic field decreasing?
Because and this is primarily my theory, we know it's decreasing, and there's been many theories put forward as to what is happening, but one thing we do know, that the Earth's crust is cooling, and as it cools, it congeals more lava under the crust of the Earth. Lava has a high content of iron, and iron is a good conductor of magnetism, much better than air, so we're undoubtedly conducting the magnetic field from inside of the Earth underneath the crust of the Earth rather than allowing it to come up through and making our magnetosphere, which protects us from radiation and from the sun.
So are we on a runaway train that's going to take us into an unlivable situation here on Earth, or is there any way to mitigate this?
Well, scientists are looking at this idea now. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're so interested in other planets. But
just stay off of Mars. I don't know what the attraction to Mars is. It's a planet of aggression, everybody. We should maybe be on Chiron, the asteroid that has to do with other things. Want to let everybody know you are tuning in to It's Rainmaking Time, and we are live. Hello, United States. Hello, England. And hello, Canada. If you would like to have our call-in number when we're live on the show, you can reach us at 1-877-625-3724. Once again, 1-877-625-3724. For those of you who want to call and be on the line when we open the line for questions for Dr. Bonnelly. Dr. Bonnelly, please continue.
Okay, maybe I wasn't exactly clear on how that happens, but if you have, we talk about a keeper on a magnet. Remember the old horseshoe magnet?
I do.
And if you put a piece of iron between the two points, well, then you reduce the magnetic field that's going out into the surrounding area because the magnetic field travels through the piece of iron rather than going through the air. And that's really what we're talking about here. If we have a layer of lava under the crust of the Earth that is thick and has a lot of iron in it, then you're keeping the magnetic field going from the South Pole to the North Pole under the crust of the Earth rather than coming out through the air and then returning back into the North Pole.
See, I was worried about Yellowstone getting ready, the supervolcano that most of the world doesn't know about that's bubbling over there. But now I'm very nervous with the magnetic field decreasing before our very eyes. And even though I'm not going to live 800 years, as we speak about future generations, you know, most of us live in the day-to-day of Earth time, and we forget that we are on the Earth that resides floating in outer space. I guess the question to you is, what is it that your developments and your new works are bringing to the health aspect of how we're going to contend with this?
Well, what we've done is devised two devices. One is a layer of magnets where the magnets are very close together. They're block magnets, and they go under your mattress. And this quite dramatically enhances the Earth's magnetic field. There's three different levels. The one enhances it by 10 times, another one by 20, and the other by 40 times. And when you enhance the Earth's magnetic field while you sleep, you're actually enhancing the metabolism in the body, and that's what we've found. The increase in oxygen in the blood goes up within 20 minutes. We have increase in hormone levels. We've measured those things. All of those things are a result of enhanced metabolism going on in the body. So people with multiple problems such as fibromyalgia and arthritis and chronic fatigue and things like that are receiving help from this enhanced magnetic field.
I understand that you worked with Mr. Canada, who came to you.
Well, that was an interesting story. This is when we first started this, and I was working with athletes here because we could measure the effects on their performance. And he heard about this, and so he came to me and said, "Now look, I'm a science teacher originally, and I said, I don't believe in this at all, but," he said, "I've got a proposition for you. You give me one of those things, and I will measure myself, and if I can do more work with, in other words, with no increase in heart rate, or in, then I'll know that my blood is carrying more oxygen, and I'm actually, this is enhancing my metabolism." So what we were measuring was heart rate and oxygen level, and in the amount of work he could do. And he was able, this is 6 weeks now, he was preparing for the World Championship. In 6 weeks, he was able to do 40% more work. In other words, lift that much more weight that much longer. In other words, he's talking about weight. He took a series of things that he could do, and he could do it 40% more than he could do it before. And he had no increase in heart rate. But his oxygen saturation went up considerably, and this is why he was able to do that. So that's just an indication of an enhanced metabolism in the body.
Now, there are a lot of people who have heard of magnets being very helpful to health. And there was a Japanese company, correct me if I'm wrong, that came out, was it Nikon? Came out with a bipolar field magnetic bed that had a positive and a negative charge. But what you're saying is that the new science, or the more effective science, has to do with a negatively charged unidirectional flow. Is that correct?
Yeah, what you need to do is simulate the Earth magnetic field so that you're complementary to it, not going against it. See, the Chinese have been using magnets and magnetic pads for centuries, and this was a takeoff from what they were doing, but they realized that it was having the same effect on the body as acupuncture. So that's where I kind of got involved in this thing, because there was a university study going on here using one of their type of beds. And they were having great results at first, and then they disappeared with time over a three-month period. And they wanted to know why. And so we did some experimentation here. I had an electronics company, and we showed that actually whenever you placed a magnet, like in your hand, you could increase the electrical flow down the arm to the hand. You could also increase the blood flow, and that's where we started. And then Dr. Saul List later showed that you increase the production of endorphins by 45% and secretin by 32% and ACTH, which is the forerunner of adrenaline, by 17%. So these are all indications that you're creating an artificial emergency. So that bipolar field then does work on short term by creating an artificial emergency. But it isn't sustainable if the person has low vitality. If you have very high vitality, you can go on for a long period of time and still have a response from a bipolar field. But when you have a lower vitality, you have less response, and some people react immediately to the bipolar fields because it's overstraining an already overstrained brain, and they just don't feel good with it at all. So we have two types then of treatment with magnetism. One is the unidirectional field, like the Earth, going complementary to it, and the other one is a bipolar field. And when you place a magnet against the body, you will get a bipolar field because what goes in comes back around.
So does that mean that we shouldn't go out and all try to get magnets?
That means that if you're going to use them, you should use them for only short periods of time, and preferably less than an hour. There's 150 studies in Eastern Europe on this, and they showed that the best times for using them was only a half to 1 hour a day. We're talking about bipolar fields now for the best results.
Interesting. We're going to take a short commercial, and we'll be right back with It's Rainmaking Time, an interview with Dr. Dean Bonnelly. It could be said that before God created light, God produced the creative energy of sound. And when God said, "Let there be light," all sound, music, and languages sprang forth. I can think of no one I know who has quite the ability to articulate both the complexity and elegant tapestry of the most ancient language other than Roberta Herzog. Please welcome Roberta Herzog as she introduces us to the most ancient library on earth, the Akashic Records. Good morning.
You've asked me about these Akashic Records, and the most important question that people ask is, what in the world are the Akashic Records? And my answer is kind of simple, that God, I really think, is a fantastic administrator. I've been thinking about this, and you know, really, every religion, every true religion is taught that God knows the very heartbeat of our heart and the purpose of our soul's destiny, and He's caused a fabulous divine record to be made of our thoughts and words and deeds and every lifetime that we've ever lived. So in every generation, including this one, God has given a gift to a few men and women to be able to directly read these records. And the responsibility is awesome for those of us who read. That's the truth. So, and the reason that people seek this information, to me at any rate, is very simple. Because they're trying to solve the issues in their life, and they're treating effects, and the effects just don't work. And the effects include problems, situations with loved ones, issues with their health, their finances, their vocation, issues that seem now to be chronic in their lives, and they seem to be attracting these same issues over and over and over and over.
But isn't that one of the key contributions of the Akashic Record readings is to be able to bring in a time dimensionality,
yes,
like a snapshot in time of,
yes,
things that at the level of the soul we're dealing with that have nothing to do with this time or at this point in time.
That's the whole point.
As a solution delivery item.
Yes, absolutely. Kim, you're right on. A lot of people go to therapists, and the therapists use very good academic modalities to heal, but they run into a brick wall when they get into the causes that are past lifetime, and the people come for years and years and years trying to get effective therapy, and it doesn't work because the therapist can't break through the seal of forgetfulness, which is placed upon us mercifully at birth by an angel, that we forget our past lives. How can you live in seven different dimensions at one time and different realities? You wouldn't know who you are, what your name was. You'd be all confused.
Probably one of the most beautiful pieces of your work having to do with the seal of forgetfulness, no matter what religion,
yes,
we come from, whether we believe,
yep,
in this or not, that's in your book, The Akashic Records, Your Soul's Journey Through Time by Roberta Herzog. Roberta, why don't you give people your contact information so if they have questions, they can go to your site and contact you.
I would love to do that. It's so thrilling to be on here. It's just great.
Thank you for joining us.
My website is very simple. It's my name. It's www.robertaherzog.com, H-E-R-Z-O-G. And what we're working here is solutions. And past life solutions are given when other ways don't work and they don't get good results, Kim. And, you know, I just want to say to the people that are listening that this is my 33rd consecutive year as a reader of the Akashic Records. It's a long time It's a long time, and it's a privilege to serve.
Thank you
it's
very much.
It's a privilege to serve.
Thank you for being with It's Rainmaking Time. We look forward to hearing from you again. And please continue to tune in to Dr. Dee Bonley and It's Rainmaking Time. Thank you again.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you. Dr. Bonley, are you there?
I am.
Okay. We really need to talk about the MME, the Magnetic Molecular Energizer. What is this? Why is it so revolutionary? Explain the FDA approval, what's going on in context right now for us. This is a separate, though connected, part of the things that you've invented beside your magnetic sleep pad. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that we make two products. The one is the magnetic pad, and the other one is, I hadn't talked about it yet, and that's the MME. The MME is a 10,000-pound device, which is in the investigational stage by the FDA. We operate under what's called an IRB, Institutional Review Board, which is a group of scientists that, in laymen, that oversee what we're doing to make sure the public is being protected. And this is a big device that looks somewhat similar to an open MRI, and it focuses a very powerful magnetic field to the part of the body that we're trying to heal. And it it's a DC field. In other words, there's no frequency in it whatsoever, so it allows the brain to continue sending messages to the tissue to tell it what to do. And it has been very rewarding. We are treating most all neurologic disorders. We just setting up a clinic. We're in the midst of it to treat cardiovascular disorders.
What about Alzheimer's, memory loss?
The Alzheimer's has been quite rewarding. We've done a lot more in the neighborhood of Parkinson's and MS and stroke and cerebral palsy. And cerebral palsy was one of the more exciting things, because when we started this, we had no idea that we could grow new brain tissue. And yet we are doing that. We've taken children that are basically vegetables and have them no longer spastic. We have them so they can feed themselves. We have them so they watch TV and laugh at the right time. And they're very loving and beginning to speak, things like that. So it's a very exciting area. Really, we're doing the same thing with stroke. We're actually growing new brain tissue there. And as far as we can tell, and this is only theory, but it's backed up by several different reasons, we are stimulating the stem cells, which naturally occur in the brain, to proliferate at a much more rapid rate and go out and take the place of the damaged tissue. And one of the reasons we believe this is because there was an experiment done in the University of Milan that showed that in a similar type of magnetic field, they got a rapid, shall we say, development of the stem cells. In 20 minutes, they were making new connections and proliferating. So we figure that's what's really going on. And there's other reasons, too. There's other research that shows that that's probably what's going on. Now, in the heart, you have a multitude of stem cells, and so that's probably what we're doing in the heart, is replacing the old dead muscle with the new muscle, because I've taken one case, for instance, one-third of the left ventricle of the heart was completely dead due to an infarction, and in 6 days we had it as good as new, and the man could run upstairs and do whatever he wished, which before that happened, of course, he could only walk across the room without beginning to pant. So this is it's exciting new technology, and our phase 3 studies will be starting with that machine here in the fall, and our first study is on, and we talk about phase 3, that's to determine the efficacy or how effective is it, and that's what we're going to be doing with diabetic neuropathy is the first one, because we have found that we can regrow the nerves back in the feet in a week to 10 days. And
Fabulous.
And the second one that we'll be starting next year is on herniated discs in the back. We found that we can...
Isn't that how you got into the field, with back problems?
That's how I got into the original magnetic pad, yes.
Yes, I'm sure that's how many solutions are found around the world, is that you're struggling with, you know, your own difficulty with something and nobody has the answer, and you end up on an adventure, on a journey until it's found. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. We're live with Dr. Dean Bonley, who is a world-renowned expert in magnetics and magnetism. He is in Alberta, Canada right now. I'd like to open up the live telephone lines and invite all of you or any of you to call and introduce yourself and direct a question to Dr. Bonley and or myself, 1-877-625-3724. Let me repeat, 1-877-625-3724. Please feel free to give us a call. In the meantime, we're going to continue. Dr. Bonley, the electromagnetic energy also has a pollution capability. How do we protect ourselves from the level of electromagnetic pollution inherent in a cell phone universe now, and television, microwaves, also the unlimited amount of microwave stations that are being placed around the United States, which most people don't know? What do we do aside from having your bed as a first line of defense?
Well, you mentioned quite a few different things here.
I like to send them all at once.
use your cell phone quite judiciously, not long periods of time. In other words, keep your conversations short.
I don't think Americans know how to do that. know about the Europeans, can't tell you about Southeast Asia, but I hear that it's getting worse, not better, in terms of longevity.
Yeah, so and keep the conversations, down to within 5 minutes. And that's the first thing with cell phones, because they do seem to be quite a problematic thing.
And I hear the antenna also, it's better if the antenna is not coiled on the inside, but that there's an antenna on the outside in terms of going into the inner ear and the brain. Is that true for you? Is that what you've heard?
There's research being done on that, and I think that there's some legitimacy to that. The best thing is those earphones that, so that you have your cell phone remotely from you, so you just have the little earplug in there.
Yes.
And that actually is the best way, and you see quite a few people doing that.
Doesn't that send the electromagnetics into the inner ear on a closer level?
The work that's been done on that so far shows that it actually is better.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't get.
Here come my earphones.
You don't have as strong a magnetic field. But anyhow, let's go on to some of the other things. The microwave, just stay away from the front of it.
Yes, we do have a caller, Dr. Bonley. Let's bring Lady Carla Davis from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And really mix you up over there by asking yet another question when we haven't even let you answer the second question, Lady Carla Davis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm just thrilled with your show. It is so interesting. I wish the whole country was listening in.
Thank you.
And, Doctor, your information is really interesting. I'd like to find out, too, if there's a contact to reach Dr. Bonley.
On Monday morning, 9 o'clock Rocky Mountain time, the office will be open here, and it's 1-800-265-1119.
Would you like to repeat that one more time to reach Dr. Bonley in Canada?
1-800-265-1119.
1119. Okay, thank you so much. And Kim, I'd like to find out also if you're going to have available CDs on the transcripts of all your shows, because they're so interesting and fascinating. I'd like to share them with a lot of my colleagues.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Yes, we will. And also I want to thank Mark Mendez, who stepped in to graciously set up the website in a very short amount of time. We will have CDs available a few days
Wonderful.
After the show. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful. And I'd like to make one more suggestion. You've had, several shows. I know you had one recently on water, which some of us have missed. And, of course, I hope that down the line you'll be able to repeat some of these shows, the one today and the one you had last week. I really hope that you'll be able to repeat them. I would highly recommend that.
Thank you very much. I'm definitely
to hear them
open.
Again, and tell all our friends and colleagues about them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We had a show last week on something called primary water, and we introduced actually Bill Cox, another renowned pioneer in the area of water locating, has introduced the world to primary water, which is water that is available into perpetuity, that is inexhaustible, that's above the Earth's magma. And it's water that has nothing to do with rainfall as we know it. It is literally not trickle-down water from rainfall, but an inexhaustible supply. So he introduced what it is, how it comes to be, how to locate it, how he locates it, and how to make this available to countries and nations and communities around the world who need it. And in so by doing, he has really introduced the fact that there is no need for thirst at all. Not only is there the privatization of water heading very quickly down the line around the world, but also privatization really doesn't have to be, because the shortage we think we have doesn't really exist. It's just that we're used to looking in a different place for drinking water. So that's really important information. If you walk around and you don't know that as a frame of reference, you get hooked into the geopolitics of the fight and the tremendous attempt to own and control water and practically everything that the Earth has to offer. So we want to offer it up again, that the Bill Cox interview on primary water will be available on the website in a few days to order as a CD. And also, we want to invite you to go ahead and order it because it helps support the show. This show is based on attraction, not even really promotion. It is based on a whole other translation, part of magnetism, and it is a resonance of magnetism. And so we really want to invite you to take part in that, in creating a beacon with us to bring new knowledge and ancient knowledge that's always been there but that has been buried or forgotten or blocked to the common person, so that we have more dominion and freedom to make choices. Dr. Bonley, is there anything else that you would like the world to know? We have just a few minutes, and then we're going to go to a commercial, that you'd like to share that you feel is important for those of us to walk around knowing regarding magnetism.
Well, there's a lot more to it here, but I would suggest that the people that call in next week, we will send them a free video. It's a 48-minute long video telling all about magnetism, and a little booklet also. And so if they call in, that'll go out to them free. So that'll really put them ahead of the rest of the people around them, understanding really what's going on here in the field of magnetism, what it can do for them.
There's nothing dangerous about this. There's no side effects at all with your beds or ordering this product, correct?
No. As a matter of fact, we give them a 6-month satisfaction guarantee, which is shows that we really believe in our product.
That's wonderful. Please give your number out one more time, Dr. Bonley.
1-800-265-1119.
We are going to go to another commercial break, and we will be back. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want you to stand by, Dr. Bonley. We have a little bit of a breakthrough in the art world coming.
Okay.
Art News calls him a student of ancient civilizations. Brentwood Magazine calls his work magical. Mr. Exploration and Discovery is a true artist in all aspects of the word. His timeless art calls him to venture out on scientific and artistic expeditions into the Southwest to seek clues to ancient civilizations and the mysteries of the ages. Meet this ancient soul who brings us surreal landscape art from other dimensions, as only John Oberdorf can bring you his brand of initiatory art. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rainmaking Company proudly presents John Oberdorf. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kim.
You know, when I first saw your work in the Sumitomo Bank many years ago, I was so struck by the presence of the landscapes that were up all over their walls. And I said to myself, I want to represent that guy. That guy really has something with landscapes. And I have never visited a bank so much in my life. I don't even like banks. I was going in and going in and going in, and it took me a while. They were withholding your number from me, and finally I got a hold of it. The Rainmaking Company is offering giclées of John Oberdorf's, one of many of his paintings to come, called The Deep Gods. And before we even talk about the deep gods, we have a gentleman here, John, who is the pioneer of giclées. His name is Jack Dugan, And Jack Dugan has popped in on us this morning to introduce himself to you and the audience, and also to talk about what a gicle is, just a few minutes, and then we want to hear from you about the deep gods. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the inventor and pioneer, Jack Dugan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
This you have surprised John Oberdorf, I'm sure.
Well, I was struck by his work. It's phenomenal, phenomenal work. The gicle actually is a fine art print that is created with digital output. It's intended to be a word that was created for the reference of fine art, mainly because traditional printmaking has always gone back to serigraphy, stone lithography, woodcuts, linocuts, etchings, photogravure. All of these, at one time or another, were used simply as a means of communication, getting the written word out to the public, or somehow getting some representation of an image out to the public in a multiple form so that more people could see it. As like the Gutenberg Bible, the printing was developed for that purpose of getting the Bible out to many people instead of having monks transcribe them for centuries. So the form of printmaking has always been used by artists to be able to take an original so that they don't have to repaint it 100 times for the people, all of whom want it and stand in line to buy them, to be able to provide prints so that it, economically it makes sense to the artist. And at the same time, it allows the artist to be working in another medium. We've gone through so many different types, including photography, of generating imagery through into multiple forms. When digital printing came along, this was an opportunity again for artists. And artists will always be the vanguards. They'll be the bad kids on the block who'll go out and do it when they're told not to, just to go play with it, just to find out what they can get. And then after a long time of working in that, a word ended up having to be developed that would fit into the lexicon of printmaking terminology.
So basically what I want to ask you is, gicle is a reproduction, almost an identical, of art. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it just sort of consequentially turns out that way. The idea of printmaking, when multiples were being generated from original art, was always in the hands of someone who had to bring printmaking technologies of some sort to the artist so that the artist could make multiples. It was always inadequate in the sense that it was never able to really produce something that was totally accurate to the original. And sometimes the artist wanted that, sometimes they didn't want that. In the case of stone lithography, the artist actually had to work on the stone. Never did the printmaker actually do the work on the stone for the artist. But in terms of serigraphy, the artist did not do the original work. There were some artists whose medium of choice was a silkscreen, and so they would actually do the stencils themselves. But in terms of most other artists, they didn't want to learn that particular technology, so the printmaker would do it for them. And chromists were people that developed who would actually take an original and break it down into every color that was contained in the original on separate films, and then they would make silkscreens and print these. With the digital printmaking, when a scan is made of an original, the technology of digital printing is so perfect that when a print comes out, sometimes, like in the case of watercolors, if it's printed on a watercolor paper, it's almost impossible to distinguish the original from the print.
I want to thank you for giving a very, very short introduction of a gicle. And I want to bring John in. Are you still there, John?
I am.
Well, I figure since we're making gicles of your work, and if you go to itsrainmakingtime.com, ladies and gentlemen, we are making the deep gods, a beautiful ancient sea turtle that John has painted, the first of many of his paintings that will be available to the public without only the rich being able to buy it. And there's nothing wrong with the rich buying art, but the reality is that fine art should be available to everybody in the world on all kinds of forms. And we thank Jack Dugan for making that available, and also your associate, Jack.
David Koontz.
David Koontz. Exactly. David, who's probably in Colorado Springs. We want to thank you for also pioneering it. John, tell us about the deep gods. Tell us a little bit about it. We have just a couple of minutes.
That's okay. Well, the deep gods was originally based on a book that I had read by David Mason. In this book, some of the animals were very intelligent. It was in an ancient time, supposedly. And they had messages, and they communicated with human beings. And so I kind of translated that a little bit, and I wanted to give an indication of something timeless going on the Earth in this painting. And in turtles, sometimes they have a look like they're carrying a great secret of some sort. I'm sure that that secret is the secret of life itself, and that basically it has to do with what we have going on in our own inner nature. It kind of reflects in their eyes. And so that is kind of what I was hoping to convey a little bit of in this particular piece. And you'll see also some shadows of other creatures in the background also. There's a shadow of a dolphin and what I almost call a proto-whale to kind of lend a, kind of an ancient sort of quality to it. This is reflected in the ocean, the water of life, and that's pretty much what I had going on in that piece. But it revolves also around our experience and ability to perceive, and that's my entrance into surrealism, which I feel is an experience before it is a thing itself. So my imagery is not necessarily Dali-esque, but I believe it's an initiatory experience. We have it every day in some way. People just are kind of trained out of that in a sense. We're not trained to look or perceive in the world that we live in, so we have to work on it. And every once in a while, we receive these little initiatory experiences. And with me, it's kind of walking the fence between worlds, and I convey it by using light, composition, perspective, and color, and detail. And this is what I'm trying to convey. A lot of times I'm doing landscapes, but I've been doing some seascapes lately. And the Deep Gods is, of course, dealing with the ocean and ocean life, which is, to me, kind of a timeless symbol.
You know, I was in Arizona bringing John's work, everybody, to galleries there. And I called up John from an area of Arizona called Surprise. And I started crying, and I said, I'm not selling it. I'm not doing it. And I'm crying on the phone to John. I'm saying, I'm not giving it to them, the mother painting. They're not getting it. We're going to make reproductions and make it available to people all over the world on mouse pads for kids. And, you know, this particular image, I connected with it so much. So really, I'm the cause on this side of going to the thought of a gicle.
Oh, you definitely are.
Because you're not getting the mother, anybody. John, you've been in Omni Magazine, Science Fiction Review, Twilight Zone Magazine, Ace Books. You're in galleries in Portland and Oregon. Tell us quickly where you are, and then we are going to move to the next part of the show. Where are you? Where's your work?
Well, in Oregon, I'm in the Brian Markey Gallery, Northeast Broadway in Portland. That's the main gallery that I'm at. I also am in a place called Art Space on the Oregon coast. And I came through a few paintings there as well.
And you're also, I understand, set up with the Rainmaking Company to take that great work of yours worldwide.
In fact, I am.
You're a smart man, sir. You're a smart man. We want to thank you for joining us with It's Rainmaking Time. I'd like to do a whole show with you and Jack Dugan and invite in David Koontz and whoever else they feel will cause a big stir in the art world. And I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Bruce, the engineer here in the studio, and Bubba and Q over at Warp Radio. It's Kim Greenhouse with It's Rainmaking Time. Please feel free to go to itsrainmakingtime.com. You can always tune into the show from there. And God bless. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.